Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Well, of course, yesterday, if you were anywhere in the United States, you were somewhat aware of what was taking place, what people have described this morning as a tsunami, not just a wave, but a tsunami across the United States of political change that took place, specifically with the GOP doing very well, extremely well, in the election that took place yesterday. I had my phone has a couple of push notifications on it, so I was getting regular breaking news items from both CNN and Fox News. And just as I was looking down at them, or at some point in time when I was out last night, I wasn't able to look at them consistently. And then when I did look, one after the other, it was like whether it was CNN or Fox News at the time, but it would say, GOP wins this one, GOP wins this one, GOP wins this one. And I was like, wow, it's a wave, as they talked about, going not just in one locale in the country, but across the country. There was this general discontent with what was the direction that the country was going in, and that discontent was, of course, transferred to those local elections, and people across the country rejected basically the Obama administration and the Democratic Party and their politics and their policies that were coming out of that. Let me put it that way, their policies that were coming out or went along with that party. I mentioned before the election that the indication was that this was going to be a rejection election, that it was rejecting what the president and his party was doing. And I think that that bore out afterwards. And I think the results coming in and the exit polls talking to people who they voted for and why are revealing that very thing. I think there just a moment ago on the news report, Fox News at the top of the hour was saying, I believe it was 55% of the people that had voted in these exit polls had said that they were voting that way because of their angst or their dissatisfaction with what the president and his party were currently doing. So now we have a different group of people there. I put this on my Facebook post here this morning, and I want to talk about this a little bit on the second half of the program today, just about the ways that the Christians should view these things. And even more specifically, I want to look at the idea of Reformed folks and the way that they react to elections now. I just find it a little bit funny the way that Reformed folks think about this. I saw one person yesterday, he said that I just voted and now I feel dirty. And, you know, those types of comments. I get a lot of friends that are Reformed on different social media, and when they post something political, they always hedge it when they first put it out. They put a little disclaimer in the beginning, something like this: I don't normally post something political, but, and then they go ahead and put something out there. And I've always, you know, in my mind, I question that whole mentality, or what I would go so far as to say, theology on these issues. And I think they're in a little bit of consternation today, exactly how they should react, whether they should show that they're rejoicing over the election or and so forth. I'll talk more about that on the second half of the program. But this is what I put out on social media this morning. Praise the Lord for his mercy in granting such encouraging results in yesterday's midterm elections. Of course, I realize that the people elected are not perfect, and certainly what is needed most in the country is a real heaven-sent revival. But that said, politics is not outside the jurisdiction or sovereign purpose of God. He rules in the affairs of men, and I am grateful for anything that can be done in that sphere that promotes that which is good and restrains that which is evil. To that end, the Lord was merciful to us yesterday in those elections. And so I think that that's a pretty fair statement, a pretty, Christian statement about the way that we should view the things that took place yesterday. I want to go to the first part of the program today. I want to talk with Daniel Devine from World Magazine. Daniel had written some articles and previous to the election. I want to get some of his commentary on the election itself and so forth, maybe a little bit on what I just said there as well. But even more specifically, Daniel was zeroing in from a technology standpoint about some of the mishaps and the maybe even some fraud that was being reported yesterday. We now use electronic systems to be able to conduct elections, and we were getting some reports yesterday about some squirrely things that were happening where somebody would vote for one party and then all of a sudden their vote would be switched over to the other party. Those things are disturbing, of course, and so I want to see if any of that actually materialized in any concrete way and talk about those issues. So first up, Daniel, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Yeah, hi, Kevin. Yeah, certainly some of those things did happen with the touchscreen voting machines. Some people said that their votes that they were trying to put in were getting changed to the other candidate.
Mm.
So that happened in Virginia. In Virginia, there's actually a video on the internet from Virginia Beach showing somebody trying to push the checkbox next to the name of the Republican candidate for U.S. Congress, and every time they tried to click that box, it actually clicked instead for the Democratic candidate below.
Hmm.
So that was a pretty funny video to see.
You know, is it just me, or does it always seem to be where the person had selected somebody on the GOP and then it was going to Democrat? Or is there many examples of it going the other way? I just don't seem to hear it.
You know, it's odd. Every case that I heard of yesterday, where it was the Republican candidate's name being switched to the Democratic candidates. Now, they're saying that the problem is that these touch sensors, sometimes the sensors on the screen are not properly aligned over mm-hmm. the candidate's name.
Yeah.
So that's what's being blamed, but it is odd that everything was being switched to Democratic candidates.
Yeah. Now, of course, when you go through that process, I voted with the electronic process yesterday. You go through and you select, and then you get a chance to review that before you push your final vote, you know, before you confirm your vote. So you would assume that, you know, people, when they get to the end of it, that they are just looking down to make sure that the ones that they selected are actually the ones that they wanted. I guess it could be a little bit more easy to bypass that confirmation process, especially if you did across the board, one party, so that it fills it all in for you. But you would just think that people do at least take a glance there to make sure that their vote was accurate. Would you agree?
Yeah, election officials in these states that were reporting some of the problems with touchscreens, Virginia, Maryland, they were saying that, they were emphasizing to people, you know, make sure you double-check your ballot before you make that final, you know, the final cast at the end, and double-check all your selections to make sure that they're right.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that even for people who had problems with these machines, that they did, you know, they were able to vote for who they wanted to, you know, by the end of it, either by correcting their selection or by using a different machine that wasn't, having those sense of problems.
Mm-hmm. Now, you highlighted these things prior to the election and somewhat even yesterday, but was there any real, you know, egregious case of these other than what you just mentioned? And is there any question of this in any of the races where it is I was going to say where it matters. That's not the right way to say it. But where the election is so close that the number of votes that this could have taken place with would actually sway the election one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm not sure in terms of yesterday. Before yesterday's election, one thing that came up that was really interesting was a lawsuit in Maryland that was filed. I believe it was on October 24th. That was giving evidence that non-citizens were actually registered to vote and could actually be voting in yesterday's election. Now, we don't know if they really did or not, but what this lawsuit did, there's a group in Virginia, a voter integrity group, that found jury lists, jury duty lists, forms that people had filled out where they claimed exemptions from jury duty based on the fact that they were non-citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you're a non-citizen, you don't have to serve in jury duty. But also, if you're a non-citizen, you're not allowed to vote.
Hmm.
Well, this integrity group found that a lot of the names listed on that had claimed non-citizen exemptions were also registered to vote in Maryland. And that's an obvious problem. And so they compared some of these lists, and they found out that some of these people had voted. And so the question is, could some of these non-citizens maybe have become citizens before, they voted, or are these real cases of people who are not citizens who are voting? And obviously that's it's a big problem and could, in a very close race, a number of non-citizen voters could swing an election.
Exactly. In fact, I was listening to Roger Hedgecraft Hedgecock the other day, and Roger was saying that he felt that this was the October surprise. It wasn't going to be something that was obvious to everyone. The October surprise was that those that were in the country illegally, that they could go to certain areas that a list had been published, and in that list it told folks which areas you could vote in where they weren't looking seriously at whether or not you were a citizen or not. You weren't required to show picture ID or certain other forms of identification, and so you could go into those areas and then vote. And say that you were from those areas, and that would be taken as good enough, and you could vote and sway those elections. And he was saying that this was going to be the real problem during this election, especially because the election seemingly, hopefully, is going to have consequences related to the issue of immigration and what happens on our immigration policy in this country. So this would be a specific reason why folks that were here illegally would want to get involved in those fraudulent processes of going and voting where they shouldn't be voting. And so I was, to me, I can't even wrap my head around the idea that we don't have a process in place where you have to prove that you're a citizen in order to be able to vote. I think that that's the number one thing that the newly elected Senate should deal with, that somehow we should fix that problem, that no matter where you vote, that you have to prove that you are a citizen of this country or a resident of that area to be able to vote in those elections. And I think that that would be vitally important for them to do so. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's unreasonable to require people to show a photo ID to vote. There's a guy named James O'Keefe who just produced an undercover video a week or so ago. And it was showing how he could go in North Carolina and go to different polling places, posing as somebody who was trying to vote. Without showing an ID. He was actually, what he did, he found registered voters who were inactive, and he went and he said, "Hey, do you have this name in your system?" And they said, "Oh, sure. What's the address?" So he gave him the address, and they said, "Okay, just sign here, and you can go vote." He said, "Do I need to show you a photo ID or anything?" And they said, "Nope, you can just go vote." He didn't actually vote because that would have been, of course, breaking the law.
Yeah.
But it just showed how easy it was to be able to go vote in states that don't require those photo IDs.
Exactly. And, I just can't believe that we have a system like that. It's so so funny that we go across the world, like in Iraq and so forth, where we were helping them to be able to vote people in, and we, you know, we're over there teaching other people about this democratic process and so forth, and yet in our own system, we have these gaping holes, and people are actually trying to make the case for that you shouldn't have to prove that you're a citizen to be able to vote. Well, you know, the things that we're voting for are, of course, going to have consequences on how we live our life and what happens with our funds and so forth that we send up to the government. We should be able to say that only people that are legitimately here, that have a right to be here, have that type of influence. Let me ask you, we're hearing more and more, and we saw this just before this election, more and more about the early voting process. Did you find in your investigations, was there any more fraud associated with the opportunity to vote earlier than there was for fraud on the actual day of the election?
There were some instances of machines putting in the wrong name as you tried to press the button, and in some early voting cases, like in Illinois, I believe. I did hear of one clear instance of fraud in New Mexico last week. A voter showed up there in New Mexico to vote, and when they, you know, they looked up his name there, they found that, well, you've already voted, you've already signed the sheet. And he said, no, I haven't. And so they compared his signature with whoever had signed in his name before, and the signatures were different. So somebody actually came and did vote in his name in his absence. And the funny thing was the election officials there said that they didn't have any way of going out back and separating that fraudulent vote out of the ones that they had, which seems a little bit silly, you know, if you're going to go through the trouble of making people sign their names, but then you can't actually fix the fraudulent vote later on. What's the point?
Exactly. And that kind of leads to the frustration of people. I mean, what did they do? I've never heard of a case afterwards, as you're mentioning, where they go back and they actually do anything substantial about the fraudulent voting. If it comes up short, you know, the guy won anyways, it's just kind of like, well, you know, people shouldn't do that. But he won the election anyways, and even if we gave him, took away these votes, it wouldn't matter to the process. So, you know, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of accountability associated with it. Did you find that to be true?
Yeah, there's another case as well in Charlotte, North Carolina. Patrick Cannon, who's the former mayor there, cast an early ballot on October 30th. And it turns out that is illegal for him to do because he's a convicted felon now. And again, in that case, from what last I heard yesterday, they were not going to be able to remove his vote in time for that election. So another case of not being followed up on, at least not right away, it seems like.
I don't remember the exact situation, but we even had the president joking about this recently when he was out on the campaign trail, and he had joked about people casting their vote or doing it a couple times, and then he jokingly said, "Well, just once, you know, this isn't Chicago." And then he took that back and said, "You know, no offense to you, people of Chicago, and so forth." You know, so it's almost looked at as tongue in cheek. Yeah, there's a lot of fraud involved in this, and there's ways to game the system and so forth. Boy, we need a different attitude than that to be able to really bring change to this.
Well, speaking of Chicago, one of the big, I don't know if fraud is the right word, but certainly something malicious happened in Chicago over the weekend before the election. Yesterday, as the polls were opening in Chicago, a lot of them opened up late, up to half an hour and a half late, because there were not enough election judges to operate the polls. Those are the people who, you know, help you fill out your vote and fill out your election ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that over the weekend, thousands of election judges in Chicago got automated telephone calls that fraudulently informed them that they needed more training in order to serve as judges, even though they'd already had the training that they needed. And nobody's quite sure who sent out this robocall campaign, but apparently it worked, and a lot of judges didn't show up on time, and so the polls opened late, and some of them had to stay open later than usual last night because of what happened with these judges not showing up.
You know what I found to be a little bit of an issue there at the voting booth is, you know, you have 3 minutes, I think, according to law, at least maybe here in the state of South Carolina, to place your vote. But sometimes with the amendments that are on there, if you're not familiar with those before you go in and very familiar with how you want to vote on those, they're pretty wordy. And it's a little bit of legal ease that's in those things as well. And you'd be hard-pressed to get in and out of there in the 3 minutes if you're going to actually, you know, try to read through those things at that time and look at them. And I also found that, you know, it was a little bit difficult to find the ballot online or being available to you so that you knew everybody who was going to be listed on there prior to the leading up to that election. I don't know why they kind of keep that close to the vest and they don't let you see exactly this is what it's going to look like when you go in. These are exactly what it's going to be on there, because I get a lot of people, because I'm on the radio program here and so forth, and also even with being a pastor at the church, you know, who exactly are you voting for and who's going to be running in these particular races and so forth. And it just, to me, it just seems that the actual ballot isn't as available as what it should be in order to make that process easier.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It could depend on the state. I would think that everybody in every state could find a copy of their ballot somewhere if they did enough research, if they asked enough questions.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it certainly is one of those things where you've got to take the initiative and do the research before you go. What always gets me are the when they ask you, do you want to retain such and such a judge? And I'm there in the polling booth, and I realize, you know, I don't know anything about any of these.
Exactly.
It's hard for me to make a decision. So
yeah.
It's one of those things where you just got to put the extra time and effort into doing the research ahead of time to figure out, you know, how you're going to answer those questions.
Yeah, and frankly, on those ones, I don't vote. You know, I deselect that if I did party and I'm unsure who the person is. I just don't cast a vote because I just can't stand if I was to leave there and then find out later, you know, that this person was like pro-abortion or something, and I just cast a vote for him. Being pro-abortion, in my view, is a disqualification for running for office. And so I it would just devastate me that I cast a vote for somebody who was pro-abortion. So, you know, I just don't vote for him in that case. But I had that same issue. You know, there were some of the people when I went in, I was like, oh, man, I wasn't aware of this person in this particular race, and I don't know anything about the people there, so I just didn't cast a ballot in those races. So.
And you don't want to vote out a good judge, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't know anything about him and you vote against him, just go, well, he's been in there long enough. Well, maybe he was a really good judge and
right.
Cast a ballot against him.
Right. I think, you know, that whole idea of long enough that you just mentioned, too, is I am leery of this whole idea of these career politicians. And even again, here they're talking with the national races and even the presidential race now that we're going to be turning our attention to here shortly. And, you know, it's like, man, the same old, same old. They with these different dynasties of people that come up. And I'm just like, you know what? I'd like to see some average people. I'm tired of the elite people in this. I'd really like to see more of somebody from among the common man getting involved. I realize he's not going to know all the ins and outs of Washington and so forth. But you know what? That to me right now is refreshing. I almost don't want him to know about the ins and outs of Washington. I want him to approach this with fresh ideas and with fresh eyes and to look at these issues and face them that way rather than, you know, just a good old boy system and coming up through the ranks and all that. I'm just getting a little tired of all that.
Yeah, it is good to get fresh faces in there. Sometimes I think people that are not already in the in the system can look at problems from the outside and maybe think about them in a different way than somebody on the inside can. Hopefully that'll be a good thing in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for keeping your eye on some of these technological issues related to the election, and especially we'd like to be very careful about fraud taking place in these things. So we appreciate you writing these articles on that issue. Thanks for taking time out to visit with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yep, sure thing.
Okay, that was Daniel James Devine. You can read his article out there on World Magazine. By the way, World did a lot yesterday on the subject of the election, and you can go out there to their website to read all about it. They have a special campaign 2014 section, and they have some really cool interactive maps and stuff like that. So if you wanted to zero in on certain areas to see what the results were in those areas, you can do that out on their website. Their website, again, is www.worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.